Today's episode is brought to you by our new presenting sponsor, Vitamin Water.
Woo woo!
Welcome to Ear Biscuits. I'm Link.
And I'm Rhett. This week at the Round Table of Dim Lighting, we are exploring the question, is back to school a feeling?
Interesting, because it's that time of year. Actually, today is that time of day for our families. This
our
morning,
kids' first day of school.
This
today.
Morning, all of our kids went back to school. It brought up a lot of experiences I've had, because every year for a lot of my life, I go back to school.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And was there a?
I didn't drop out.
Was there?
Kids, don't drop out. Don't drop out.
Was there a specific feeling associated with that? If there was, what was it? Or what also now still is it?
Yes.
Does it still happen even though we are no longer going to school? And I
yeah.
don't just mean vicariously through our kids. I think we can take a journey through the kids, but also through our own
experiences. We'll be talking about even, we're gonna get into a little bit, just a little bit, not too much, science as to why you may still feel that back to school feeling even after you no longer go to school. And we're going to be recollecting. Can you use that term in that way? Recollecting?
Yeah.
Reminiscing about some of our specific
recalling
back to school experiences that we had, which of course many of those were shared because we went to school and back to school basically every year that we went to school, with the exception of like one. But let's talk about the children, because—
Well, I think before we do, we have to issue an apology.
About that, a fact check. We have to do, what do you call it, an error correction?
We gotta do a correction moment here on Ear Biscuits. You know what? We never said that everything that I say is perfect. I think Rhett tends to imply by his tone of voice.
Yeah, but you
very
didn't say
frequently
that. I said it.
That
I was the one that was wrong.
You were saying that you only speak truth.
No, if you recall, I don't want to have to cut to a clip.
No.
But if you recall, I specifically said, I think Dyson is from Australia. But then I was like, at least I think it's from Australia. And then we said, Jacob, check that. Because we had the wherewithal in the moment to know that, and I had the wherewithal.
And you know what? I respect you for that. You did do that.
To fact check and say, you know what? I don't want to say, I really thought they were from Australia. And then he did the fact check. And you know, he's actually not in here to defend himself. I'm gesturing to where he normally would be. He's not in here right now. He came back with—
You know why he's not in here? Because he was wrong.
He should have been shamed.
He used his keyboard, he used his laptop, and Jacob doesn't like to speak audibly.
While in here.
I mean, he's not mute. He does, he does speak when he works.
But only when spoken to.
No, well we spoke to, he likes to just type so as not to interrupt the flow of our conversation.
And I appreciate that.
And he said something to the effect of James Dyson is from Australia. But the fact is he's not. And that's why he's not here. Jacob no longer works here. So
that's what happens around here. When you make a mistake like that, when you make us look bad, you get fired.
You gone.
Actually, he's just on a phone call. He still works here.
He's doing something more important than
we
just sit here and I will put this in quotes, fact check us.
Because it's actually a British company. We are sorry to everyone in England. We know that you are actually responsible for Dyson. Well, at least your country is, you're not. And maybe you are listening if you are actually a Dyson, and we apologize, but there are
manufacturing. But you colonized Australia,
yeah,
so.
Yeah. And we learned while we were in Australia that—
Australia.
You like the way I did that? There is still a connection. Technically, they're still under the authority.
Right.
Of the United Kingdom.
They're not independent. There's something else. Jacob, he's not in here. Why is he not? Okay, yeah. If Jacob were here right now, he would be typing out.
They are independent, but it's not quite perfect independence.
He very quickly, you know, we put him on the spot. He was acting like he was listening, but he was doing something more important. And then we put him on the spot and he did some Google, but he did it in a faulty way, apparently. Because something came up that talked about all of this production facilities and things in Australia, but the headquarters is in the UK.
Yeah. So I think there's a better way to apologize.
So we are sorry.
We took a while
Jacob.
To do that. Usually, just say on last week's podcast, we incorrectly stated that Dyson was from Australia. We are sorry. We now know that it is from England. And then you just move on. We could have just done that.
Punitive measures were taken, but we're not going to go into details, and we're not going to. We're not gonna ridicule someone who's not here. We wouldn't do that.
Let's talk about the fact that we just sent our children off to school. And again, last year was their first time ever going to public school. They were all homeschooled.
So last year was huge. I mean, we were worried about so many things.
Big transition.
Lily was going into being a freshman in high school. And how many students are at that high school? 3,000?
Almost 3,000, yeah.
3,000 students at one high school.
Which is three times the number that we had at HCHS, Harnett Central High School.
Can you imagine just being, I mean, she wasn't physically just schooled at home up until through eighth grade. There was like—
They went to other schools.
There were classes taken and
charter
school type situations. There was social interaction.
Yeah. We didn't keep them in a cage.
But it was not a public school setting, and there was nowhere near 3,000 kids there.
No, so a big transition for them.
And of course, I mean, it was first time Lando being 7 years old at the time. I mean, all the kids. Your kids too. It was like there was a lot of wigging out happening. Like Locke was, you know, it was a big deal for him and Lincoln. And
yeah, it was just, you know, they were trying Shepherd. To find their way in the world, and they all adjusted incredibly well. They had a really good first year. It wasn't super easy.
Found hobbies,
but they got plugged in, and they were, you know, they it wasn't about the unknown this year. Now it was a little bit for my oldest Locke because he was beginning his freshman year at high school. But you know, he knows a lot of the people who are from the school because it's mostly the one school going to the next school. So it's not like for us, which we'll talk about in a little bit, where it was all a bunch of schools coming together.
So last year, a whole bunch of worries. This year, the only worry that I could discern was, what are we gonna wear on the first day of school?
Yeah.
You know, last night, I got home from work and you know, the whole place was a buzz. Like everyone was running around, getting all their stuff straight, and Christy was packing the lunches, and she was clandestinely writing a note to each of them.
She's a noter, huh?
She wrote a note, and then she—
My mom was a noter.
She was like, I walked through the kitchen, and she was like, wouldn't you like to write a little note to Lando?
Oh, pressure notes.
Yeah, pressured me into writing a note, so I wrote him a little note.
What'd you say?
You know, I said, this signature is probably worth something on eBay. And then I stuck it inside of his—
Well, okay.
eBay still happened?
Playing off of the narcissism joke that you just made, I will say that as a fellow narcissist, I have found myself, I didn't write a note. I wrote a note yesterday to Shepherd because it was his birthday. So we usually get them a book and we write in, we take a page in the book and write in the book, and that's like their card and their thing, and we talk about like, the things that happened in them that year.
Oh,
but
cool.
Multiple times that I've been writing notes to my children, I get to the end and I begin to sign it Rhett. You know, it's like, because I end up signing my name quite a bit. So, but
why do you do that?
Because I'm super popular and people just demand to have my signature. That's where the narcissism comes in. But then I started, and I'm like, no, I'm not Rhett, I'm Dad.
An R is easily turned into like a D with legs.
Yeah. Yeah, I've made it work many times.
You make that D walk.
Okay. But anyway, I'm moving right on, right along. The same thing was happening at my house. There was a lot of hustle and bustle because, you know, on Sunday they had gone out and they had done their back to school shopping.
Mm-hmm.
They had gotten
the clothes
that they wanted.
That's the first thing about back to school is that it's a commercial event. I mean, it's like freaking Black Friday.
Yeah. It's kind of like when we get ready for a—
Well, I got a pencil or two, but I got to get 12 more today.
We get ready for a new season of Good Mythical Morning. We're like, we got to get some new clothes. We can't be wearing too many shirts too many times.
So that
you don't want to do that at school either.
Case in point, okay, the back to school feeling. I think that's a good data point right there because we still live it.
Well, because we have started our show at the same time that back to school happens.
Right.
It's just the way that it's worked out. So I think that's one of the reasons that we've continued to ingrain that pattern in our brains for years. But
because the show is so structured around being a part of the daily routine of the viewers.
Right, we want to be in sync with that.
We try to take a little break and then blam, bring it back around that same time when people are adopting their their scheduled rhythm, you know?
Right, well, and I will say that it sounds like you were more involved last night than I was, and that's just where I got into a little trouble.
I wrote notes.
You wrote pressure notes, but you wrote notes.
Oh, you got in trouble?
Yeah, this is what happened with me, is that I got home, and there's lots of, well, first of all, it was Shepherd's birthday, so we like did a birthday dinner. I grilled the steaks. I mean, I thought that was pretty noble. And then Jesse's like, all right, you guys gotta get ready. You gotta get your clothes out. And it just kind of seemed like everything was under control. It just sort of seemed like everything was working like a well-oiled machine. And so I was like, I'm going to get in the hot tub.
Oh no, you didn't.
Yeah, yeah, because I was like, my legs were sore. My legs are sore, man. I did one-legged squats on Monday. You know, shout out to the gym that I go to. No, I'm just kidding. No. It was first workout since being back from Australia and Fiji.
Okay, so see, you're adopting that school.
Getting back in the routine.
But so
I was like, I wanted to soak my sore legs. I go out into the hot tub. I have, you know, just sort of some moments with myself. And then I come back in less than an hour later and she's like, where have you been? And I was thinking, well, isn't it obvious? I'm soaking wet and very relaxed. I've been in the hot tub.
But at that point you were like, what can I say?
Shepherd told me to turn it on because we've been playing, the whole day was about Shepherd and his birthday and you do whatever Shepherd wants.
Shepherd told me to turn
the hot tub on. I thought he would come out.
And get in alone.
He didn't. She wasn't happy with me. I apologize, baby. I'm sorry I didn't participate as much.
You were apologizing now?
No, I apologized multiple times last night, but I was kind of met with an icy stare because she just continued to do things.
Now, here I'm faced with a decision because I could decide to say at this point, I actually got in my hot tub last night, but then what would happen is I would be admitting.
You got in your hot tub.
Here's the thing, I would be admitting that I own a hot tub.
Yeah, right.
And I, you know, whenever you said, and you've already admitted to having a hot tub in like another podcast, I think. And I just kind of.
You have a bigger hot tub.
I got okay. Scared.
You have a hot tub.
I'm really self-conscious
you
about
have
people
a
knowing
hot
that
tub.
We have hot tubs.
You have a hot tub that changes color while we all sit in it. Like it goes from like green to blue to orange.
It's like an alien abduction.
Yeah, you have a hot tub that's bigger and cooler than mine. Of course, I am getting my backyard redone, so mine will be bigger and cooler than yours in not too distant future.
I mean,
we're gonna have to keep going back and forth.
I made the narcissism joke a few minutes ago, and then we start talking about our kids, and then you're self-deprecating. You're talking about how, you know, you're telling this story. I'm just really self-conscious about.
It's fine, listen.
It's making a joke about being a narcissist, but then like being a narcissist while telling that joke.
If people are gonna not like us because we have hot tubs and we are constantly trying to make them bigger and better than each other's, they can just move on. There's other people who do things on the internet. It's fine.
Okay.
What I will say is I remember the time that, our friend Michael growing up called our friend Eric growing up and Eric's dad answered the phone. I remember Michael telling us this story and he called him and he was like, hello, Mr. So-and-so, can I speak to Eric? And he was like, oh, I'm sorry, Michael, Eric's in the hot tub. And so I remember for years feeling that like someone being in the hot tub and not being able to come to the phone was a huge douche move. So I completely understand your aversion to douchey vibes.
Yeah, a lot of douchey vibes. I mean, because when you drop, just like, oh, I was in my hot tub last night and blah, blah, blah. It's like name dropping.
It's like a big bathtub. Really? It's just like a big bathtub.
Outdoors with lights that change. Now—
Mine stays the same. My light does not change.
Here's the difference. Pretty low rent, actually.
Here's
how I'm gonna defend my hot tub. This is what's gonna make me feel better about it. And this is true. It's one of my favorite places to be. I'm like a king in there.
So you had some special moments to yourself as well last night.
Actually, no. A great thing about our hot tub is we're like at dinner and I'm like, you guys, you want me to heat up the hot tub? And I have to get agreement from like the majority of the family and
tell them how easy it is for you to heat the hot tub up, Link.
It's on my phone. I can do it right here.
Oh,
so that when I get home.
What a douche.
It's hot.
What a douche, can just pick his phone up.
90,
and change the temperature of his hot tub.
Degrees.
I can't even do that. I have valves that I have to maneuver. Now, I will be able to control it with my mind come January.
But so if the majority says yes, we'll get in the hot tub, then I'm like, okay, we're all getting in the hot tub, and it becomes like, it's like,
it's great family time.
It's like gathering around the campfire.
We do it all the time.
Which, of course, I also have one of those.
You do, yeah. You have a freaking fire. You have two fire pits. You have a fire pit next to your hot tub that's just a bowl of fire that you light just for effect. You have pyrotechnics in your backyard.
I'm getting embarrassed, man. Don't embarrass me about my fire.
You listen, hold on. Just let go, man. Enjoy it. Just to be enjoy.
This is my show.
It's the fruits of your labor, man. You've worked hard for over a decade.
If I want fire in my backyard,
you can have a freaking fire pit.
This side and that side, can a man have his fire?
Yeah, I'm getting four fire pits.
You're gonna have.
I'm gonna have gargoyles that breathe fire all around the entire perimeter of my property.
Use them as towel dryers. I've stood over that cauldron of fire next to my hot tub.
Naked,
naked.
Fact, yeah. I wasn't there, I just guessed.
I would have a towel and I'd be drying off. I'd be drying off and then I would just open the towel like—
And receive the flames.
Like a creepy watch salesman on like a street corner in New York City.
Yeah, that's where they do that.
And I would just like, I would corral the fire around my region.
Yeah, yeah, nothing like that.
And just to like dry it off that way, heat dry it.
Can't wait to do that just with the gargoyle.
Okay, get the right angle on that.
I'm gonna ride the gargoyle. Like I'm spitting fire.
So last night, they all agreed and we all got in the hot tub and it's, cause it's a great time, it's kind of like the dinner table. You're sitting there, no screens allowed, you're not in front of the television or whatever. So all you can do is hold your breath or talk to each other.
Right, and two options.
So we, you know, it's a great place for us to connect as a family and talk to each other and not be narcissistic or a douche.
Right, yeah.
So we did that last night. We talked about everyone's expectations, what they were looking forward to. But again, it just came back to what they were gonna wear. Like Lincoln ordered these shoes off Amazon. Shoes are such a big deal.
You gotta have the right shoes.
Locke really got Lincoln into like the shoes. He's very aware. Like Locke is kind of like an older brother in that way that like, okay, tell me what's what and what I should be into. He didn't tell me that, I'm just kind of reading between the lines. But anyway, there were shoes. And then he was like, Dad, I don't have socks that are just the right amount of no-show go with my shoes for the first day of school.
Emergency trip to the store.
No, I was like, I got you covered, son. I got two different options in my sock drawer that I want to lend you. For this,
Did he go with low tops?
Really came through. Low tops, yeah.
Yeah, Locke went with a low top. Low top Vans.
And he said, "I'm going to wear my shorts, which are they're white. They're like cool shorts with like a white base," is what he said. So he's like, he thought about all this.
Yep.
But so then the next morning, this is what happens. So they're also everybody's scrambling to get ready. And then everybody's getting rushed out the door and Chris is like, oh, no, we gotta take the picture. We gotta take the picture.
You gotta have the picture.
And so they go out at the front door to take the picture outside because Jesse is coming with Locke and Shepherd to pick up Lily to take Lily with to high school with Locke for Locke's first day. Like, you know, Lily will be there and kind of show him a little bit of the ropes.
Right.
She's been there a year. So I go out the front door, I mess up the picture because they were already trying to take it. And then I wanted to watch. I watch him take the picture and I notice about the same time that Jesse pulls up and rolls down the window, the same thing that Locke noticed, which is my son's hair is huge. Like he spends a lot of time on it. And he poofed it up. And I mean, it's like my hair kind of, but like twice as tall.
Yeah.
And blonde. And Locke rolls down his window and he's like, Lincoln, your hair is insane. And then Chrissy starts taking the pictures. Lily gets in the car. They drive off. We wave goodbye. We go back in. We're going back in the house and I hear Lincoln say to himself, he's like, I gotta do something about my hair. I gotta tame it down.
He thought he had taken it too far.
Too insane. I think Locke meant it as a compliment. Like,
yeah, insane
is good.
Yeah.
He had a big grin on his face, but like, you know, you're so self-conscious on that first day, everything's gotta be peak and perfect. So I'm like, I'll help you out, son. So like, he goes back in there for a second blow-drying session. And I'm like trying to help him get it right and stuff.
You brought it down, you toned it down a little bit?
Brought it down, took it to the side a little bit.
We'll have to see how it turned out.
We worked it, we haven't gotten home yet. I've done some texting with the family and I've got some updates on how they did. Maybe I'll save that for the end. before I get in the hot tub,
yeah, my
which
kids,
will be after I'm done with this.
My kids didn't, Locke actually ended up getting a haircut. You know, his hair has been.
I cut Lincoln's hair last night too.
Oh yeah,
but just the size.
I don't do that. I have a small sort of humble hot tub and I also don't cut my children's hair. As if that would be a douche thing to do.
I cut Chrissy's hair too.
No you don't.
I use a bowl, put it on top and just shave the sides.
And, but Locke ended up cutting his hair because he's been kind of growing it out and he's been doing he's been like kind of putting it when it gets a little bit long because he's playing basketball and stuff, he's like kind of puts it back almost, it's not really a man bun, but it's the beginning of one.
Well, it's a pre-man bun.
But the basketball coach saw that and said,
Is that right?
Nope, don't even think about it.
They don't allow it.
And while he could have protested because you can't, I don't really know what the rules are. He was like, I got it cut because I didn't want to, you know. I mean,
really?
They talked about it a little bit, but ultimately he was like, I don't, you know, trying to establish myself, and so made it a little bit shorter. So
they both had to tone their hair down a little bit.
Yeah, I had to tone it down. You know, going into the next year, you got to tone it down a little bit.
You want to make a statement on that first day. I mean, your clothes do matter because it's that part of that confidence because you want to be able to slide in there with a little strut in your walk and. You gotta bring your best on day one.
Well, you don't have to.
Oh, you could set expectations low and be like, day two, it's like, who is that? I don't
you
remember
could
him
reinvent
from
yourself
yesterday.
Every day. That's why that's why the school uniforms. I mean, that's why a lot of schools do the uniforms, so because you just take that completely out. There is no opportunity to express yourself in that way. I don't know, there's advantages, there's disadvantages. That's not what we're gonna talk about. We're talking about back to school, and we're gonna talk about us going back to school year after year. In a moment. But first, Ear Biscuits is supported by HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy.
Because who wants to measure?
And not me.
I like to just have it.
And what do you use, the metric system? Do you use the old English
system? Just know that you got it right.
Yeah, who knows?
I made these hoisin glazed meatballs for the whole family. I'm being real, I didn't make it.
First of all, do you even know what hoisin is? Is it hoisin?
Yeah,
I think it might be hoisin.
Hoisin glazed meatballs are the opposite of poison glazed meatballs,
which I
do not recommend.
If I backed you into a corner.
They do not sell those at HelloFresh.
Could you explain to me what hoisin was?
It's a jelly-ish like sauce that's salty and umami-ish.
Oh, wow, man. I didn't even back you into a literal corner.
It's really.
And you did that.
I love a good meatball, man. But I didn't make it. I'm not the one who made it.
Okay, that's okay, but you ate it. I didn't make it, but I ate it. Okay, they've got three plans to choose from, classic, veggie, and family. You go with the family because you know, you are a family.
You talking to me? Yes, I'm a family. If you're a family, get the family plan. If you're a vegetarian, or if you just like veggies, get the veggie. Classic.
And if you're just a classic kind of person, some people are just into classic things. You can feel confident when cooking HelloFresh with the simple recipes outlined on pictured step-by-step instructions. You don't even really have to know how to read.
Yep, and the kits are labeled, so if you like labels, it's got those. You know which ingredients go with which recipe. And cooking becomes something you actually want to do when you get home from work versus just saying, oh my gosh, I gotta pull this all together. It's already been pulled together.
Right.
Knock it out of the park.
It's like someone has shown up and done some work for you, which makes you feel important.
Spend less time meal planning and grocery shopping each week and get that time back to do more of what you love.
For a total of $60 off, that's $20 off your first three boxes, visit HelloFresh.com/ear60 and then enter ear60. So that's HelloFresh.com/EAR60 and enter code EAR60.
And now back to the biscuit.
So we were just talking a second ago, because we have so many things that we remember together about the way that we remember back to school. But the cool thing is that one of my earliest back to school experiences ever that I remember vividly is our first day of first grade, which is when we actually met.
Yeah.
That was like the ultimate back to school is like the basis of our friendship.
Yeah, because I mean, here was the thing. At Buies Creek, of course I was there for kindergarten, which wasn't great for me.
It wasn't as good. I wasn't there.
I'm sure that the first day of school was always laced with anxiety for me because, I mean, that's just, I know enough about myself, even though I can't remember specifics. I do know that my mom would take the first day of school picture at the end of the hallway. There was the closet that had the towels in it.
Nice white background.
Yeah, she would put me against that and she'd take my photo with like my lunchbox. I remember you had a Q-Bert lunchbox.
I remember the Q-Bert lunchbox.
That must have been first grade. I'm pretty sure I had a He-Man Masters of the Universe lunchbox.
I remember your lunchbox.
It was blue and I was holding it in my first day of school shot. And I think I can see the anxiety in my eyes in all of those pictures.
I remember, now for me, I was coming from California because I lived in California for 3 years down the road in Thousand Oaks before moving to North Carolina in first grade. And I don't know, I wasn't an anxious kid. I never dealt with a lot of anxiety, and I actually remember, especially in subsequent years, always the only time I was excited about school was the first day of school. That was when like I was like, I'm gonna make my way, I'm gonna establish myself, and this is, I saw all this excitement, not anxiety, but just anticipation and excitement, and then it's like day two, I'd be like, ah, school sucks. And I was one of those school sucks kind of guys from then on. Mm-hmm. But I do remember.
You love a newness, man.
I remember anxiety over that because I was this new kid in this small town. It was very different from where I'd come from. I do remember thinking that my Q-Bert lunchbox like said something about me though.
I had never played Q-Bert. These small town kids don't know about Q-Bert.
Yeah,
I did not know about Q-Bert.
I'm gonna blow their minds with Q-Bert. This little guy with a snout and he goes up the pyramid. Oh, they're gonna be blown away by this. No one mentioned it.
Was that on Atari? Because I think that was just in arcades.
I feel like I had Q-Bert on a home system of some kind.
I don't think you did.
It was on Atari, wasn't it?
I don't think it was.
See, Felma's looking that up right now. We're gonna see what kind of fact checker he is.
But the thing about Buies Creek
Nintendo?
School.
Well, definitely.
That was a new, the version on Nintendo, I think, was a new iteration, but like the arcade version that was on his lunchbox was like a.
Yeah, I brought in some arcade games to y'all.
It was just arcade.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, just arcade. See, you didn't play it at home, man.
Yeah, I just had the lunchbox at home. It made me think I had a console.
Thing about Buies Creek was such a small town, such a small school. Every year, you would specifically anticipate who's gonna be the new kid. You know, because there's usually only one or two, maybe three if things got crazy.
Right.
But I mean, people were not pouring into this town.
And when they moved in,
and
it
everybody
was like,
knew it when you guys showed up.
Oh, this girl's from Nebraska. What? That's crazy. There's somebody from another state. Like that was what it was like when people moved in. But the most significant year for me when you talk about new students was sixth grade, Miss Lanier's class. When both Leslie and Amber, who carry great significance in both of our lives.
Here we are talking about them again.
Leslie, our first girlfriend, Amber, our first kiss, different times.
Yeah.
They both came to the school in the same year. And boy, and first of all, from about first grade, like first grade on, I thought about girls most of the time. Most of my brain was being devoted towards women. You can get it for $12? I can get a Q-Bert, is that a Q-Bert lunchbox?
No, this is the game for Atari.
Okay, you can get
for
it.
The Atari. Okay, I'm wrong. No, that's the Atari 2600.
I had the Atari 2600.
Oh, you did?
I did, I had that before Nintendo.
So you cared about girls with like 99.9% of your being, and with that
it increased slowly, but sixth grade.
0.1%, it was Q-Bert.
Sixth grade, my body was beginning to change.
Oh.
I changed a little bit earlier. So that made the reception of two new interesting ladies, it was doing, it was doing things to me. It was different. It was more intense than it had been before. I was beside myself. And that's the year that Miss Lanier decided to put us into, I was like, this is weird, but she decided to seat us.
Clusters.
In clusters of four facing each other. So like you got four kids and they're all facing each other and their desks are kind of touching at the top.
Group work.
And that was when I did the, I've told this story before, I'll tell the abbreviated version, but that was when I just decided one day, she had shorts on, I had shorts on. I was like, I'm going to connect my knee to her knee as a show of affection, which I do not recommend. It was sixth grade. I didn't ask for consent. It was also like 1986. It was a different time, whatever. I don't know what year it was.
That's not an excuse. I'm going on the record to say, I don't know what. I don't know what you were
going
for.
It was just knee to knee contact. I just feel like I have to, you know.
You just brushed your kneecap against her kneecap.
I brushed my knee against her kneecap, but when she pulled back, I brushed it again. I got long legs. I got a lot to give.
Did she repulse and recoil, or did she just think that, he did that by accident?
She did not repulse. She did not recoil. She just moved away gently. And then after the third or fourth time of contact, that she was like, wow, Rhett, you got some long legs.
She said that.
And I kind of gave her a look like, you bet I do.
And then you like kept your knee grazed. That's no longer a graze, that's a rest.
I at that point I pulled back and then within a week we were dating.
Okay, it worked.
Again, I don't recommend it. I'm just telling a story.
News of this trickled to the library where I was being very bookish one day, because I was in Miss Campbell's class. It was Miss Campbell's class, right? Or Miss Rand's?
You were in Miss Campbell's class that
sixth
year.
Grade, yeah. Yeah, had to wait a whole year to date Leslie after that.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
So anyway.
I know what I gotta do, it's just a matter of time.
That's all I was thinking about. But
what started with Leslie is now about hot tub size. You know, I mean, but Leslie and Amber were both new kids, and I think that's what they were, very close friends. I think that was the factor, but you know, they assimilated.
Yeah.
But that's the type of thing you were looking for every year, was who's gonna be new? Where are they gonna come from? What's their kneecap gonna feel like when my kneecap touches it?
Yeah.
You know,
it could be anything. Really.
Freshness, new beginnings, the ability to start over, I think was so great. I remember thinking with every new school year, I can be somebody else. I can reinvent myself.
But not really, because you were the same kid that had been going to school with the same kids. But
you know who did it? One person was able, in the tight-knit community of Bowie's Creek,
himself?
From one school year to the next, reinvented himself. Chip.
Oh, yeah, he was Chip and then he was Peter.
Yes. End of one school year, he was Chip. Beginning of the next school year, call me Peter.
Yeah, and it took a while to stick. I called him Chip for, he was my neighbor, so.
And I
held on to Chip for two years.
And this is the Peter Dinklage that if you came to our show, this is the Peter Dinklage that was Rhett's neighbor.
Yeah, and not that Peter Dinklage that you're thinking about, Peter Dinklage.
The one that was formerly known as Chip Dinklage.
Which first of all, I understand
that. He reinvented himself.
Because I didn't understand until later in life, maybe like a couple years later, that Chip is a nickname. It's like Chip off
junior.
The old, it's like
junior.
Chip off off the old block. And so when a boy wants to become a man and establish himself, he wants to become Peter. The problem is his dad was also named Peter. So, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, but at least his first name.
To school with him.
He didn't, right.
Stayed at home a drunk Capri Sun.
But the biggest-
You remember what year that was? When Chip became Peter? Because you're saying he became a man, but this was
that was like fourth or fifth grade.
Fourth or fifth grade.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, right before he became a man. Depends on what culture you're in and what your experience is. Eighth grade. I want to talk about.
He was your neighbor,
grade.
So.
I have a spotty memory.
He didn't live in the outback.
Eighth grade, First of all, we went to Buies Creek School. It was K through eighth, which is not very common anymore. In fact, we were the last, yeah, this is us, the last eighth grade class ever at Buies Creek Elementary School. After that, it turned into Harnett Central Middle School, where all the schools that didn't go to Harnett Central High School come together.
Yeah, so then Buies Creek Elementary then and now still does only goes through fifth grade.
Fifth grade, yeah. Fifth grade. We had spent all this time, in fact, I remember in first grade going to the talent show in the Buies Creek Auditorium and watching the eighth graders at the time perform Brass Monkey.
That was the peak, man.
And it was Brad Inman. Shout out to Brad Inman, wherever you are, up there playing the trumpet during Brass Monkey. And it was unreal. It was, I remember sitting there watching this happen and thinking, you cannot get any cooler than this group of eighth graders up there right now doing
brass
this song.
Brass trumpet.
They did it, they changed it to brass trumpet.
That funky trumpet.
And then he did a trumpet solo.
Brass trumpet.
It blew my mind.
Well, not literally.
That's why I stopped myself from saying literally, because I don't want to misuse the term literally. It figuratively blew my mind.
Yeah, the bookends to the year, the best moments of the year, the feelings that if you just want to bottle up and just binge drink, is that first day of school and then the day of the talent show. Because everything after that, it was only like maybe another week of school, maybe some exams and stuff, which sucked. But yeah, and your point is, the whole student body goes and watches the talent show to end the school year, and you got these eighth graders, man.
Well, I'm thinking about the way that we perceived eighth graders and the way that impacted my first day of eighth grade.
Yes.
Do you remember when yearbook day, it was a big thing for the kids.
You wait in line to get a...
Chris Stewart. I remember Chris Stewart.
Yes.
Who was in eighth grade when, I think when we were in...
He was 4 years older than us. No, he was a senior when we were freshmen in high school, so he was 3 years older, actually. He wasn't that...
Chris Stewart was older than my brother.
No, you're right. I'm thinking of the other Chris.
You're thinking Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson.
No, Chris Stewart was an eighth grader when we were like in first grade.
Yep, yep, yep.
And so I remember going up to him and standing in line,
yes,
waiting for him to sign my yearbook, and he just like signed—
like a celebrity.
Chris Stewart. And I was
even
like,
his younger sister, Natalie, you had to stand in line to get her autograph.
Like, Chris Stewart just signed my yearbook. It was like Tom Cruise had signed my yearbook. And so when I walked into Buies Creek Elementary—
and side note, Tom Cruise does sign all of his own yearbooks.
He does. When I walked into those halls, those hallowed halls of Buies Creek Elementary as an eighth grader,
yes,
I realized that all of these kids were seeing me the way that I saw Chris Stewart.
As a god.
And I was like, I can do anything. I own this place. We're gonna do the talent show. We're gonna do Digital Underground. It's gonna be incredible. And
yeah.
If it lived up to those expectations that we set, but.
I remember signing kids' yearbooks.
Yeah.
And I think I can draw a direct line from that to the hot tub I now own. You know, it's like trying to recapture that feeling, man.
Constantly.
You know, just trying to get back in it. The biggest transition, the back to school moment, was going into high school because, I mean, now you're not ruling campus anymore. You're not an eighth grader at a school that you spent your entire life going to, but you're going off to this high school. It was nerve-wracking because it was huge. It was a melting pot of all of the elementary schools, because there were no middle schools, in the county. So you had Buies Creek Elementary, where we came from, and we had the reputation as being the smart kids.
Well, and let me explain that a little bit. Just the Buies Creek mentality was that we were in the middle of this county, Harnett County, and we were where the university was, where Campbell University was. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us, like me and my dad, taught at the law school, still does. And so
you weren't from a farming
vibe. We had this sense that we were better than everybody just because we were like, we knew we were in the middle of nowhere, but we were like, but at least we have a university. We are this bastion of education. And so we kind of look down on all the other little towns that were just normal Southern towns around us.
Because you had Lafayette School, which I always thought of them as, they were kind of good old boys. They were all really nice, more farmer oriented.
Lots of farmers.
But they had a really good band. I knew some of the band members. Like I'd met them in, we did some cross pollination band.
A good
thing.
Band, huh? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they had
I never noticed the Lafayette band quality.
Speaking of trumpet. Keith Sears.
Keith Sears.
I played trumpet. Great guy.
Great guy. One of the best guys.
Once you got to know those Lafayette boys, they were great.
Joseph Revels.
Oh man. he had a mustache.
He had a mustache in like fourth grade. I didn't even know him.
Just look at it. You'd walk.
Legs like tree trunks, man.
Yeah, I just walk up to him and talk to his mustache.
He had huge calves.
I wouldn't even talk to him. And he was so nice.
That was Lafayette. Then you had Lillington. Lillington was like Buies Creek adjacent, right? So
yeah.
So we kind of like, we're like, okay, you guys, you have like, you've got your own like town hall and you are the county seat.
Right.
So you have that. You're the county seat, this is where the courthouse is. You've got some bragging rights. You know, you're not Buies Creek, but you're good. You're good.
You'd walk. You'd always eat. We'd go to Lillington to eat, like to go to the McDonald's.
That's where they had fast food.
That's where food existed.
We had no place to eat except Little Dino's.
Right.
And that was only open for a while.
You'd pass by the Sexton Ford car lot.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, you start going to the high school and you realize Chad Sexton goes to the high school. There's an actual Sexton that I now go to school with. I don't just drive past the used car lot anymore.
And you know there's a connection.
I knew there was a connection.
Sexton
is probably one of the best last names of anybody, any kid who would have to be in a middle school.
Well, I don't know. It's a lot to live up to in high school. but then you had Anger. And what can I say about Anger?
Tread lightly. Watch yourself with Anger because
They were scrappy. I'm trying to
Yeah. They knew stuff and they
knew stuff that we didn't.
They knew and they had substances that we didn't.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Andrew was a little rougher. A little rougher around the edges.
Yeah, yeah. But Jason Keenan was a great friend of mine.
Yeah,
great good guy to meet.
Taught us a lot. But Andrew was where Harnett Central High School was. So we had to basically go to Anger. I mean, it was like,
gotta give him some respect.
West Anger, in order to go to school. So all of a sudden we're grouped together and there's all these ideas. For me.
It feels like gang warfare. It's like going into you know how it is, your first day in prison and you're figuring out the different gangs.
And I will say that for the majority of our entire high school career, we kind of stayed with that Buies Creek group. We let a few other people in, and
a very tight knit group.
I'm not proud of this. It wasn't purposely clicky, but the school was it was as clicky as most 90s schools were. I think it probably is still the same, but it was a pretty tightly knit group. But again, the only
as opposed to a nightly tit group.
The nightly tit group is
that only happened in Andrew.
That's just breastfeeding babies.
Oh,
the nightly tit group is a totally different
thing. Redeem it. That's good. That's good.
So, what I remember thinking again, I was in complete overdrive by this time, thinking about girls going into my freshman year, and I remember. We would get together, we would go to the river, we spent a lot of time in the Cape Fear River.
Swimming.
And we would have some of our deepest, most significant conversations while just swimming in the river.
They weren't all about women.
A lot of them were. Oh, okay. But no, I'm saying, and the ones that I'm thinking about when I'm thinking about like anticipating what high school was gonna be like. And of course, you know, I have a way of sensationalizing things and trying to make things seem like they're gonna be incredible. And I was
like,
we're gonna go, the thing you don't understand is like, sure, you know, we've been here with this group, but now there's gonna be Anger girls. Let me tell you about Anger girls. There's gonna be Lafayette girls. There's gonna be Lillington girls. The girls that we have not been able to see because we can't go to those public pools. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We go to Keith Hill's pool. We can't go to these other pools.
Right.
And so I was really building it up in my mind. That was the only thing that I was thinking about.
And I was thinking, what's the structure of this? I mean, this is a big place. How do I know how to get around? I'm gonna print out my schedule and put it in multiple places because I don't know if I'm gonna, I don't wanna get lost.
Print it out? How would you have done that?
Well, they mailed it to you. It was a mentality, okay?
Okay, I understand. I'm not trying to poke holes into
your- I don't think
your,
I had a printer.
I'm trying not to poke holes into your,
I remember even,
your dot matrix life.
I know that I still have my class schedule from every year because I was very anxious about going to the wrong class at the wrong time.
You still have them?
I have like an envelope that has stuff from every year of my school.
That is wild.
And it has
including
my-
Including your class schedule.
Because I would keep it, even though I would eventually master it. But there was like a commons area and there were places where you could buy drinks.
Yeah, vending machines outside.
Yeah, and you could go in the cafeteria and there were multiple lines. It's like, this was crazy.
You wanna just get pizza? You just want a chicken sandwich or do you want the daily offering?
There was a pit outside. It was like, picture an amphitheater that only has three steps. Mm-hmm. That's what I call a pit, because they called it a pit where you could smoke.
Yeah, we had a smoking pit.
Designated smoking area at right beside, everyone who walked into the school walked right past it.
Yeah.
And of course, any direction you looked literally was a tobacco field.
Yeah, so we were just supporting the local industry. I mean, I did not partake, I did not smoke.
I didn't either. But
in high school, but there were quite a few that did.
It was a very new world. And it was, you know, is that you looked at it with so much promise and a chance to connect with in a love life kind of way.
Well, I specifically remember not the first day of school, but before the first day of school, there was some sort of sports banquet or raffle or something that my brother was going to, because my brother was already on the basketball team. And of course I knew I was gonna play basketball and baseball and mm-hmm. you know, I was gonna do all the sports, whatever. And so I went with him to this banquet. Of course he could drive, he was already gonna be a senior. And I was like, this is my first like exposure to the group of people that I will be going to the school with, at least mm-hmm. the athletes, you know, even more pressure here. Mm-hmm. And I remember what I wore. I had on this a t-shirt tucked in to khaki shorts, and the khaki shorts were very long and big, I'm sure it went down to, but still preppy, it was a preppy look.
Pleated?
Pleated khaki shorts that went to just above the knee, maybe just below the knee, it was right around the knee. And then I had a braided belt that was, you know, purposely about 14 inches too long, such that it could be rolled around one time and then put down the left leg and struck me about mid-thigh.
Put down the left? I know what you're talking about. You it would like hung, tie a little knot in it.
And then it comes down at a 90. South. It comes down at a 90 degree angle, yeah. Perpendicular to your waistline.
Those are great. You know a great thing about a braided belt? It's unlimitedly adjustable.
Yeah, because you can stick the... Through any part.
Yep, any place.
I can't believe they're not back in. Maybe they will be.
I do remember that. You wanted it to be long so you could take it from east and flip it over and turn it south.
Yes, and we also, I had the Docksiders, we called them, those leather shoes that you wore without socks. And I remember, I'm so tan right now. You know, we had no regard for sunscreen or anything. So at the end of the summer in the North Carolina summers, you were so tanned. And
you wanted to show that off all the way up to the ankle?
I remember just thinking about how tanned my legs were.
You do?
Yes, I was, and listen, you know how skinny I was. I was so skinny, I was so scrawny. I was 6'4 at the time, and I guarantee you, I did not weigh more than 145 pounds. I mean, it was-
I mean, there's truth in the photos.
But I had all this, I had completely, no reason to have it, but all kinds of confidence. All unfounded confidence.
And I was the exact opposite. I had every reason to be. I was not confident. So, did you get feedback on the Docksiders, the tan or the belt or anything?
I don't recall. I don't recall specifically. I just remember feeling good about myself.
I mean, it didn't change. If I work it out, because the girls that you were obsessed with, I do remember swimming in our secret spot in the Cape Fear River and just talking for hours going into our junior year. So fast forwarding 2 years later, and you were still obsessing about like the next class, the upcoming class of freshmen.
Yeah, it sounds dirty to talk about it now.
But it was just to date, to be in a relationship with a woman.
I know, but it's
with
like
a girl. But you
thinking
were
about. I don't know.
But you would just you'd say, hey, there's this girl, Melissa. There's this girl, Stephanie. It's like, man, one of them can be your girlfriend. One of them can be my girlfriend. It's like it was that easy. It's not like you can just touch a girl in the knee with your knee and then a week later you're gonna be dating
well,
her.
Well, that did work
but
successfully one
you
time.
You would talk, we would talk, because you would really get, you'd get me fired up about it. We were swimming. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was, your confidence was so contagious. I became convinced that this girl, Melissa, was going to be my girlfriend. I'd never heard of her. I'd certainly never seen her.
Yeah, man.
And I never had met her.
Yeah, it was like double dates, man. I was like, we can drive now. Double dates, man.
And
it didn't
of course
happen.
I'm on the soccer team. You're in the soccer team before.
You practice before,
you practice
school,
before
starts.
School starts. And so there's freshmen that are trying out for the soccer team, one of which turned out to be Melissa's boyfriend. So that kind of informed how I moved forward, which was to not move forward at all. I mean, I remember he was a freshman,
yeah,
which made me upset. But
yeah, my philosophy was
I respected the boundaries.
You got to push through that. My philosophy was you got to push through that. This is high school. These relationships are.
And how did that go for you?
These relationships are not going to last. Okay, they're not going to last. Don't get too bent out of shape about this.
Stephanie was dating somebody too, man. She never dated you.
Yeah, I told you it was my confidence was unfounded. I have seen the pictures of myself from that time. But the great thing is that I had this incredible self-image. I had no reason to.
It's so weird. We're 40 years old. I mean, it was, let's see. I think it was last Christmas when I was at home and I was in the Zaxby's. And Stephanie walked in.
Oh.
I saw Stephanie.
You did.
At the Zaxby's.
How is she?
With her mom and all of her kids. Her husband wasn't there. Mm. But I went up and, you know, I was getting a refill on the drink. You can do that exactly. I was there before she was. She sat down, didn't see me. And I saw her when I was coming back with my drink. And I went over there. I was like, hey, she recognized me immediately. We chatted it up for a few minutes. I met her kids. You didn't come up once.
Good.
It's funny.
It's simpler that way.
It's funny that I immediately went back to us swimming in the river and like obsessing about like, oh, she's gonna be my girlfriend and Melissa's gonna be your girlfriend.
I tried, man. I tried a whole lot more than I was successful. I've told the story, and again, I don't like talking about it now because
Well, these are real people that still exist.
Well, no.
And now we're 40.
I don't know how to say this in a way that will make sense. The times have changed significantly since that time, and to think that I was so focused on just getting a girlfriend and not, and again, I was doing other things. I you know, we both excelled at our academics, and to some degree our athletics. You had that game with the two goals with your left foot. It was amazing. I'll never forget it.
Thank you.
We did other things. We had really good friends. We did a lot of cool things that we wrote about in the book, and we spent a lot of time camping and all that. We did a lot of other cool stuff, but it was kind of always, I was always distracted by this thought that I needed to be in a relationship with somebody. And I just wish that I could go back and tell myself, don't think about that so much. You're gonna think about it because of who you are, but just don't. It's not all it's cracked up to be. Don't worry about this. Don't, you know, wish that you're in a relationship and forget about just enjoying this time. Because when I think about it, I think, oh, it was just this, it sort of clouded every single thing that I experienced at the time.
Well, are you talking to me right now? Are you talking to the Ear Biscuiteers or are you talking to your kids? Because I do think
I believe, significantly healthier in this regard. And I do think part of it is we have constantly reminded them about not, because I know the way my kids think and I can already see the patterns of the way their brains work.
Yeah.
My wife can see that we see ourselves in them and we know kinds of the things that like, oh, this is the kind of thing I wish I had told myself. And so who do I have to tell now? I've got my kid, yeah.
I think that's a really cool thing about, parenting in general is when you can see the wheels turning in your kid's brain. I mean, I've mentioned anxiety a lot in this episode from you know, my childhood, and I can see when that pops up in my kids' lives. And so it's cool to be able to kind of speak the code, because, well, we know that it's our fault, right? Whatever it is, it's like, okay, there's this obsessive quality about fill in the blank, or an anxious interaction with something.
And we are responsible for it, whether directly, genetically, or something that we screwed up as a parent.
But it's cool to be able to kind of, we have talks, and it's kind of like you're speaking, there's shortcuts, because, and you can see them light up like, whoa, you kind of reading my mail, so to speak. You know how my brain works.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty cool. And it's also cool to relive vicariously their newness of school, you know? And I think that it is the type of thing that I do find myself getting charged up this time of year. Like, I know the traffic's gonna be worse again. I know my kids aren't sleeping in, and I gotta help them get out of the house. And there are some negatives, but then there's this energy. It's kind of, it's the energy that precedes the next energy, which is fall energy. Like remembering how leaves would fall back east, but still the air gets a little crisper. So this is, and then you got like the holiday magic. So it's like you're moving from one thing to the next in that newness.
And I said that we would talk a little bit about the science of why we still feel this, and why you, even if you don't go to school anymore, you may feel this back to school feeling. And so there's this article on NBC News that talks about, there's a number of reasons for this. One of them is the fact that your brain has sort of ingrained this pattern of that you may not even be conscious of like, okay, summers, the days are naturally longer. You fill those days more with more leisure time, and they kind of shape themselves in a different way because just the amount of light in the day. And then when the amount of light begins to decrease as summer is coming to a close, it actually changes your circadian rhythms and actually changes your melatonin levels and stuff. You sleep differently. And if you reinforce that every single year, there's this very transitional thing that is happening where you're starting anew, fresh, and it's in sync with the changing of the seasons. Your brain has become accustomed to that. And it's just the way our culture is also in that rhythm, and you see it in the back to school ads and that kind of thing. And so you've got those thoughts and those feelings and all the stuff that we kind of hinted at that continues to come back. And so it's actually the plasticity of your brain. It's ingrained in there. And then if you continue to do things like we do, like whether it is you've got a show that comes back and is on that same cycle, you've got children who start school at the same time, you're gonna feel that feeling even before you've actually registered what's going on. That's kind of the very high level.
Well, that's cool because it goes beyond explanation of it. Just feeling it vicariously through kids if you've got them, or just reminiscing, it's something that you've built. It's also an argument for not doing those year-round schools, because they're stripping kids these days of the back-to-school sensation.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know either. Even then, they do have. I think there is isn't there a longer break during the summer even for those kids?
I don't know. I hate it so much. I haven't looked into it. No, I just never experienced it, in neither of my kids. But I know that a lot of people do. But I think it's a great thing to embrace. You know, if there's any way to embrace newness, to assess and expect. You know, I think any moment when you can do that is great. You know, I feel like even professionally, we're kind of in a moment where we've geared back up with Good Mythical Morning. We're starting to get back into the rhythm of that, but we're also buckling down on other things that we're working on. It's like, okay, everybody, you know, this is that sweet spot to get some stuff going. So it's, you know, you're out of that lackadaisical summer thing. So I think it's something that if it's in your brain, you can harness. You know, this is the time. This is the time to make that change. It's like, it kind of feels like the New Year's resolution vibe, but it doesn't have all that weight of the anticipation of breaking the resolution. It's looser than that, and it's more about the energy, man.
Well, and you think about, you know, especially that time between, you know, middle school, from middle school to the end of high school. You think about how much a person changes. I mean, you just look at pictures of kids. I mean, I look at my kids. I look at Locke and how much he's changed in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And it's mind blowing. And think about how much we have changed in one sense, but haven't changed over the time. When you say, oh, fall again, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna turn 41. Like, I was just having my awesome 40th birthday. You remember that one, you know, the band, the one that everybody talked about.
Yeah.
And now I'm gonna be 41. Am I gonna have some awesome party for my 41st? No, because I'm 41. This is, who cares? 41, what? No what? Significance there.
But it happened
so quickly.
Whoa, 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 man. Whoa.
What?
Tap back into that. Let's try it right now, okay?
Tap into what?
Don't tap into your 41-ness.
Yeah, but you started talking about like the years, and I just started, I'm gonna be 41, man.
No.
There's that Merle Haggard song. I'm 41 years old and I ain't got no place to go when it's over. So I'll hide my age and make the stage and try to kick the footlights out again.
Mm. Again, this is his best album.
Hide my age, Link. That's what I'm gonna keep doing. How did this podcast—
Just try to kick the footlights out again.
How did it turn into this?
Embrace the newness that is back to school, man.
I think I need to go back to school. I think I need to go to community college. I think ultimately that is what I've just decided.
Yeah. What about real estate school? Much shorter.
I think I need to take a class.
You could drive a nice car.
At Pasadena Community College. Yeah. All the ads say that it's the best community college in the nation.
What would the ads say? We're a pretty good community college when you consider the nation. We're not the best, but—
PCC, man. Can you see me at PCC?
Just go to real estate school, it's short.
Real escape school? Is that for escape rooms?
Yes.
It's how to get out of escape. I need to go to that school. I get so frustrated
in escape
rooms.
Listen, buy the Groupon with me. You and me, we're going to the real escape school.
Hey,
and like,
if we can—
just a couple of days, we can get out of any escape room.
We need to teach that class because there are so many people whose nights are ruined because they get stuck at some part of an escape room. Yes. First of all, I need to take the class. We need to invent the class.
I just did.
We go to all the escape rooms and we get all the secrets. We have to pay for that, but then we get our investment back when we charge people to come learn how to get out of these escape rooms.
I think it's as simple as setting up a booth outside of escape rooms.
With a map.
just a little guide.
We could do it in an app. We don't have to be there, we just sell it as an app. You click on the app, but you want to get out of this escape room?
They don't let you use your phones in escape rooms. It's gonna have to be printed.
Okay.
Dot matrix.
Okay. It's PDFs. Like it's PDFs.
Right. Well, we can laminate them.
We sell PDFs. I want people to download it. I want a paid download.
No.
Does it take all the fun out of an escape room if you have a PDF?
They can pirate that. You need a folded yet laminated brochure level.
Here's the cool thing, though. We get better at selling the secrets to the escape rooms. They change. They adapt. They become better. It's like coevolution.
I get it. Do you hear that? They started playing the music. I think it's
okay.
They've been fading us out slowly.
Okay.
As we've continued to talk about it. So let's just do that.
I'll take this idea back to the drawing board.
Share with a friend of yours this episode of Ear Biscuits if you want to. That's a big help to us. Let's continue this conversation using hashtag Ear Biscuits. Reminisce about your back to school feeling. Even if you're still having it now and you're not in school, even better, let us know.
Yeah, if you want to see me, I'll be on campus at Pasadena Community College teaching the real escape class.
So what were you saying? So let's keep going, just me and you.
Yeah. Good luck with that.